Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Once again, I'm Jacob from Team Gary, and today we have Team Gary V Throwback Thursday. This is Sid's pick. This is one of Gary's all-time great keynotes from Brisbane, Australia in 2019. Gary talks so much about losing, the importance of losing, why losing turns you into a winner. There are so many things that Gary says in this keynote that still ring true and have come true in 2022, 2023. We really hope you enjoy this one. If you did, please drop your comments in the Spotify comment section down below. Please tweet Gary your feedback on Twitter at Gary V, and we will see you next time.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
What makes me happy, forget about financially successful, because to be very frank, something that I've decided I'm going to spend the next 80 years of my life on is I genuinely think as a society, we have to redefine success and dramatically start downplaying money and start playing up happiness. I appreciate that, and I really mean it, by the way. No question to me, one of the reasons I think I'm a successful entrepreneur is because I love the game, not the trophies that come from winning the game. And I think that a lot of people are chasing money because they want to buy shit to conceal insecurities and unhappiness because we're so worried about judgment from everybody else or to prove to everybody else we're winning, and it's completely fucked and we need to completely transform it. And I'm thinking a lot about that. But on that note, all that losing as a kid made me not fear it. The enormous reason, I'm gonna rant for another 1650 seconds and tell you to produce an ungodly amount of content on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, podcast. I will rant and I will push and I will prod and I'll come up with 4 classic analogies and 2 new ones because I love improv, and I'm gonna basically try to will down your fucking throat the thought that you need to put out pictures, video, and written word on the internet, on this device, at scale, because the fact that we get to be humans during this internet era where you get to post shit for free and get free distribution, and yes, eventually the organic reach of the algorithm goes down and everybody fucking cries about it, but let me remind all of you, it's fucking free. I will sit here and pound that message down your throat. I will talk about self-awareness, how you have to be good and figure out what you're good at. Are you comfortable in front of a camera? No big deal. Audio clip it. Great, you're not good at that? Right. I don't care how you do it. I definitely don't think you should do it like I do it. I do it my way. But if you are not producing content around your business or whatever you're trying to achieve by being here, you are in a place where you will continue to lose leverage while the person that does produce content for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, YouTube, they will continue to gain leverage. It's as simple as that. Everything that has happened in society around the human race over the last forever years has been predicated on communication. Everything that you're talking about in your life, parenting, politics, business, entertainment, is completely predicated on contextual, contemporary communication. And I have really nothing else to say. I can literally fucking leave the stage right now and feel good. I mean that. I couldn't be more passionate around getting everybody to understand that wherever we go with the Q&A right now, it's all gonna lead to one thing, which is, do you understand yourself and what you're trying to achieve? Are you in a place where you've actually started the process of not worrying about what your parents or your friends or your spouse thinks about you? And once you get into that good place, you will not fear to post content on. I do not fear posting content of me taking, you know, a Saturday and garage sailing and buying something for $4 and selling it for $8 and having enormous joy in that, even though hundreds of comments on YouTube are, well, you lost money because of fuel and time. I don't give a fuck, Larry. I do not fear about putting out the content that I will put over the next month about everybody should invest in sports cards, because I think I'm right, and I don't care if you think I'm stupid or it's a waste of time. You can only start communicating and getting results for your business when you believe. The amount of people sitting in this room that actually don't believe in the shit they sell is devastating. You're selling it because you want money. You know how many people right now are a cannabis and cryptocurrency expert, and 5 minutes ago they were a social media expert, and a week ago they were a fucking real estate expert? You're fucking chasing. And I don't think that's a good strategy. There is nothing passive about building wealth. There is no fucking system. There's no fucking shortcut. It's a fucking marathon. I fucking worked every day for 15 years before I put out a piece of content in my life. You're not getting there quick. Nobody's fucking inventing Uber in this fucking room. We need to quantify what's happening here. And what's happening here is we are ridiculously lucky to be living right now because our grandparents didn't have the ability to have the internet in their pocket. This computer that I'm holding in my hands is more powerful than the computer that Ronald Reagan had running America in the 80s. That is insanity. We have completely not contextualized the opportunity. The other thing that we have not contextualized is time. If there's been any breakthrough in my mind over the last half decade, it's, oh shit, my ability to contextualize time slightly better than the masses is why I'm so happy. Of course I can be patient when I think 43 is young as fuck. You know how many people are sitting here at 28 fucking nervous as shit thinking they missed their moment? We need to contextualize time. When you start thinking in long terms, I mean, how many people under 40 in this room? Raise your hand. When you realize that you're gonna live two more full lives, two more, what you've just lived up to this moment, that you're gonna do that two more full times, all of a sudden, not getting results tomorrow feels a little bit more palpable. We lack patience. We lack patience, which leads to shit behavior because you're looking for a quick score. It's the same old shit. Business is no different than fitness. You wanna get more fit? Eat healthy and work out. But nobody wants to fucking do it because fucking chocolate and sleeping in is fun. And celery and fucking treadmills suck shit. The reason so many people don't like my content is I've got no fucking quick move for you. I don't have it. I have no interest in selling you anything or giving you some fucking trick or fucking pandering and showing you how good I have it so you want it like me. Here's what I know about entrepreneurship. It's lonely as fuck. This game is lonely. You know what entrepreneurship is? You're on at all times. I've got fucking 5 offices globally, and right now there might be a leak in the Singapore office, and that's my fucking problem, right? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, and it takes a long, long, long time. We are now in the era where entrepreneurship is cool. For everybody who is 35 and older, we grew up when it wasn't cool. For everybody who's 25 and younger, people like me seem cool now. We were fucking dorks in the 80s. And you have to understand, that's fine, but what that makes me fearful of is the following. Unless you love your game, somebody else who loves it more is gonna work harder and smarter and beat you. Please understand that self-awareness and patience are the foundation of a happy, successful business. And they are words that are not being talked about at all. You know why so many people here don't have the Instagram following they want or aspire to? It's because every fucking piece of content you put out is selfish, not selfless. You care about how many likes. I'm so fucking pumped that the likes are gone in this country. It's the single best thing. It really is. You're pandering to short-term metrics and putting out shit that you're not even happy about because subconsciously you know it will do better than the shit that you actually want to talk about. We are living in really interesting times, and I come here this evening with one specific agenda, which is unless you are 100% committed to your audience and playing a ridiculous long game, you are going to become more and more vulnerable every day because people that are gonna put out content. Do you know how many fucking scam artists I fucked up by giving out all my information for free? There is no $8,000 ebook with me. And that is what is going to happen everywhere. Whoever brings the most value is going to win. And unless that's your framework, you will become vulnerable. And I highly recommend you heed this call. I highly recommend it. How many people here have more than 10 employees? Raise your hand. Really interesting subject for me, I've been spending a ton of time on. It's amazing to me, for whatever reason, DNA-wise, how I believe that I have 1,000 employees and that means I work for 1,000 people versus they work for me. I'm watching enormous mismanagement at people with employees. How do I motivate my employees to care like me? You don't. You want your employees to care like you? Give them equal equity like you have. You know, I'm watching all these patterns and it's just really exciting for me to try to get people to understand what's happening and what the opportunity is. And that, my friends, is we are now finally at maturity of the internet. People have it on their phone 24/7. We are at scale. We're in the mix now. This is real life. This is secondary. You don't like it? Sorry. But that is how it's playing out. And unless you are good at this, you become unbelievably vulnerable. I never know what's next. You know, inevitably somebody's gonna ask me, Gary, but what's the next platform? You're always so right. I don't know. I just know what's current. And a lot of times that feels like I'm predicting, but all I'm doing is moving quickly in the reality. Here's what I can tell you is going on in Australia, specifically. If you are not producing an enormous amount of content for LinkedIn, you are missing out on Facebook 2011. Regardless if you're B2B or B2C, whether you sell bikinis direct to consumer or you have a consulting firm, if you are not producing content right now for LinkedIn, you are missing a monster opportunity. The organic reach of just posting on LinkedIn as if it was Facebook 9 years ago is at a level that I haven't seen since Facebook. I couldn't recommend it more for every single person here, regardless of your business. It has gone away from being a recruiting tool to a content microphone. Number two, influencer marketing. It continues to be one of the most underpriced executions in the world. It's gotten mature. There are absolutely people with huge followings that are now overpriced, but the long tail of influencer marketing is a remarkable arbitrage, and I highly recommend you get more educated on that environment. TikTok. TikTok is fascinating to me because I keep watching people make the same mistakes over and over. Literally the same person that shit on Instagram 7 years ago saying it was for their kids and then tried to catch up 2 years ago is shitting on TikTok right now saying it's their kids. Whether TikTok becomes something as big as Instagram and mainstream for all ages, I'm not sure. But it is at such scale at this point and enough people over the age of 20 are going on the platform at scale that now for this entire room, if you're a 67-year-old lawyer, I wanna know what the fuck your TikTok strategy is. And so for me, everyone's always looking for, it's amazing. They want the answer, and then when you give it to them, they wanna push against it. It's right in your face. I highly recommend you start auditing and spend 5 to 10 hours on TikTok, consume. You'll see plenty of dumb shit, plenty of lipping and dancing and music, but be thoughtful. Search your hashtags and see what's in there. This takes work. I spend all my hours listening. It seems like I'm always talking. It's because I spend every second you don't see me listening. I watch. Those three observations are tried and true. I will, as you know, how many people here consume my content? Thank you. I will, like you've seen me do, replay this exact video in 9 years, basically with a headline of, Brizzy, I fucking told you, why didn't you do it? This is what's going to happen. So please heed those three opportunities and get educated. If you, look, why the fuck are you here? Like, if you're here for some reason, which is, I assume, you want something good to happen after you fucking allocated this day. For me, If you've allocated this time, which I'm so humbled by, to listen to this information, I'm desperate to figure out how to get you to do something with the information. There's a stunning amount of fear in this room about putting out content. How you look, what you're gonna say, what are the comments gonna say? Just a crippling amount of inaction because of the fear of people's opinions that you don't even know. And even worse, opinions of the people you love the most. And so for me, that has become an incredibly important place for me to focus on. So for me, I just have no interest in being half pregnant. I have no interest in being stuck in the middle. There's only two things for me. The macro, which is, why are you living your life based on other people's opinions? And then the micro, what are the tactics, the individual executions that actually get you to what you want? The biggest thing that I would love for this room to start doing is to start really thinking about the notion of being great at producing written words, audio, and video per the 10 platforms so that it's contextual to the platform. I just pushed a lot of you to do LinkedIn. Looking at this room, 11 of you will do it. Of those 11, if you're listening right now, remember this. When somebody's on LinkedIn and going through the content, they're in a business mindset. When they're on Instagram, they're in an entertainment mindset. So the way you convey your message is extremely important. The adjectives you use, the analogies you use, the examples you use, it has to base on the psychology. Every one of us is in a different place when we're on different platforms. You have to pander, you have to be contextual to that. So whatever you have to say about what you're doing, make sure you're being empathetic and strategic to how they're thinking when they see it. That is why I do well on each platform. I strategize around the content in reverse engineering, the psychology, in the same way that I'm trying to do that as I'm on this stage right now. What, for an audience that has so much content that they've consumed for me, can I say right now? It's why I took 40 minutes and switched it, because you can hear this shit every fucking day because I'm consistent as fuck.
Is it on? Yeah, we're on.
What's your name?
How you doing, Gary? I'm Brett Campbell, co-founder of Klaxon, or a digital growth agency. I had the opportunity on Tuesday to fly down and hang out with Grant Cardone for a couple of hours and got to interview him. And I asked him this particular question, and believe it or not, probably for the first time, he actually stopped and paused and actually had to think of an answer. And I wanted to ask you the same question. So imagine Mark Zuckerberg slides into your DMs. He says, hey, Gary, what's up? You're like fucking hustling. He's like, of course you are. I want to ask you one thing. And he says, Gary, I want you to take over Facebook tomorrow.
Good.
And you can post one post that every single user on Facebook will see for the entire day. What would that post be?
How can I help you?
And why?
Because I want to help. I didn't have to fucking think. I don't have to fucking think, fellas. When your framework is selfless, the answer is easy. When your framework is selfish, it's hard. What up?
Hi, Gary. I'm Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
I'm from Selfie Frames Australia.
It's nice to meet you.
You too. I started the business as a little side hustle, basically to pay debts and tax bills.
Okay.
And I stumbled across you, and you gave me a kick in the ass to realize that it can be something bigger.
That's
than
good.
Just paying off shit.
Great.
So I've just got this whole, I've moved from just shitty life paying off bills to holy shit, this could be a big thing.
I like that.
With regard to your post on social media, how you're saying don't be selfish about it.
Yes.
I'm selling frames that are customized for parties and stuff.
Okay.
How am I supposed to make that unselfish? Like, how am I supposed to help people? Like, you help people every day with the shit that you do. But
yes.
I'm selling frames for parties. Like,
What's amazing is, think about the answer I just gave. You could just post, hey, I make frames for parties, but if you have any questions about parties in general, and now you may not have the answers, but you just have to start with what else can I give you within the framework of my ecosystem. The reason I built the biggest wine show on the internet in the mid-2000s was I wasn't trying to sell wine, I was trying to educate people about wine. And if I happened to sell wine, I was thrilled. There's nothing, by the way, back to the last thing, there's nothing wrong with being selfish. I'm selfish, I wanna buy the New York Jets. The value though is the punchline. When you slow it down and you play over 50 years, when you give more than you take, you end up with a fuckload. And so what you can do is you can start by asking a question. You can literally go back to your seat right now, take the camera on whatever you're posting on and say, hey, I've been telling you about the frames, right?
Yeah.
What do you guys want from me? What else can I be doing for you? What questions do you have for me? And then read those questions, and that will give you the insight to how you bring value. Okay. I didn't know that I needed to talk about parent and kid dynamics. I just read all the DMs from the parents and the kids, and that led me to having an understanding that there was something there to talk about.
Okay.
Got it?
Awesome, thank you so much. It.
Gary, Ash Kerwin. How do you disagree with the status quo by raising your audience's heart math without seeming like a know-it-all, a heckler, or a troll?
By ending up being right.
Correct. Thank you for everything
you're
you
welcome.
Do, mate.
And that's the punchline, right, to that answer. Like, so many of the things I say at first are pushed against, which I respect. When you're innovating, mate, and pushing against the status quo, people are gonna disagree with you. That's the nature of it. I don't think that I deserve to be right. I just know that if I am right, over time it builds reputation. I get away with a lot more today than I did 15 years ago because of being historically correct. Hey.
G'day, Gary.
G'day.
My name's Ethan. I'm 19. I'm a uni student at the moment, and I've been following you for years now. I love all the stuff you're doing with your Cloud and Dirt, your Empathy Wine, VaynerMedia, all the stuff. I love how you, like, diversification, really, with your portfolio.
Thank you.
My question really was, at this point, I know I'm young and patience is key. I've got a lot of different avenues I like that appeal to different morals and
Makes
things
sense.
That I value.
Okay.
How do you give that 100% to everything? Or, because, like, I feel like I'm giving 20% to five different things to add up to 100.
I'd probably, you know, listen, there's a lot of ways to do this, right? So the way I stay focused is by not being focused. That's my DNA. I need a lot of stimuli, and my big game is if I'm throwing 30 balls in the air, if 8 fall, A, I don't care about your collective judgment that I had 8 things fail, and I still have 22 balls in the air. That's what works for me. I have tons of people I surround myself who are only good at having one ball, and they crush that ball like crazy, and that's amazing too. Yeah. What I would say for you is you can play both. You can try to go 5 times 20%, see what that does.
Okay.
You may learn during that time that you actually love number 4 and you decide to give that 80% and the others 5.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just thinking at that point, 100, I always got the fear of, like, if I go 100%, I'm gonna fuck up. And then you've answered the question before.
You know where it's an issue?
Yeah.
You're thinking.
Yeah, I overthink.
Bro, everybody overthinks. Okay. Everybody's so fucking insecure about losing that they think, which makes them never do, which keeps them away from losing.
True.
Reverse it and don't give a fuck about what people think about your loss. And shit gets real fun. I love fucking losing. I do, laughy guy. You're part of a generation that was protected from losing. You need to break the fuck out of it.
Okay. Thank you, Gary.
You got
Thank
it. You.
Hey, Gary.
How
I'm
are you?
Henry.
How are you, Henry?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Great.
So, you know, I'm one of those talkers that say, like, I want to make a business and all that stuff. And, I've been doing a little soul searching, and, like, you know how every business you want to help people, and I do find, like, a lot of fulfillment when I, like, you know, help people and, like, go out and do stuff for people. But at the same time, I'm kind of, like, perplexed right now, because I'd much rather spend, like, an afternoon playing basketball than going to volunteer somewhere. So
that's fine.
I'm just wondering, am I like a hypocrite right now? Or yeah, I'm just
no, you just like
confused.
Fucking basketball.
So then in terms of like passion, then like
you should start a basketball business. I'm being serious.
Okay.
Why do you want to have a business?
Well, as a means to an end, basically, but...
You could work somewhere as a means to an end.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that I'm trying to really have conversations around. This new notion that everybody needs to have a business is laughable. 9 out of 10, you know, small businesses fail. 9 out of 10 people never even try to do a small business. It's hard. It's a talent. Everybody thinks like now because of the way the internet works and entrepreneurship is cool that like I'm gonna have a business. That's like everybody saying I'm gonna play professional basketball. That's nice. But you know, my intuition is you don't have to have a business.
Right, but also in terms of like, if you say your passion is helping people, but you'd much rather do something
you
else.
You can't fucking help people 24/7 every day.
Mm. Yeah, right.
It's likely that playing basketball helps you help people.
Yeah, true. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Good.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, Gary.
What's up, bro?
I'm Balim from Brisbane, and dude, I just want to say thank you for just being such an inspiration to my generation and
thank
the
you.
Generation to come. It's
thank
like
you.
Fucking awesome.
Thank you, bro.
My biggest question right now is the fact that I completely agree with you, like what you're saying, 100%, do content and be in for the long term. That's the 80-20 rule. You do the basic, you clouds and dirt, as you talk about. Biggest question is that not necessarily why don't we do it? Because there's a massive knowing doing it, especially as we get more information. It's more about how do we get shit done? How can we make the rubber hit the road and also stick to it?
By liking it. Like, if you think it's a chore, you're fucked. You like that one? It's true, though. Like, if you're doing content hardcore because I told you so, but you hate it, you're finished. Which is why I keep talking about self-awareness. This is why I'm so scared that I'm the Pied Piper for making content because I have a unique personality. I want to remind people that there are plenty of people bigger than me, more successful than me, that are very introverted and just write incredibly well and don't make a single charismatic video in their lives. You have to make content that works for you. Does that make sense? That's why when I created in that interview with that kid, the document don't create, it unlocked for so many people because they were crippled by being creative because they're not creative. But documenting was easy. It's why I like podcasts because you can have a guest on and you just have to ask questions and their content is being made.
So ultimately, you just need to choose the shit sandwich you want to eat consistently.
No, you have to find a sandwich that doesn't taste like shit.
Fair point. Thanks, Gary.
Gary. Hey, how you going? My name is Burkhan. Firstly, I fucking love you. You're
I love
a legend.
You back, bro. Thank you.
And secondly, my question relates to TikTok. You kind of spoke about it a little bit towards the end there, but I was already in the line and it was too late to change my mind and not ask the question.
Go ahead.
So here we go. Strategies in terms of TikTok. I am a sales coach currently, and I want to start posting more on TikTok. I do Instagram and Facebook already. What do you recommend? Any selfless?
I would do 10 things the way you exactly do them elsewhere. And watch them not work, I would consume a shitload of content on TikTok and see trends, and then I would mimic those trends in your interpretation. For example, one of the trends on TikTok is to actually film another phone of your content on a different platform and talk over it. Right. So you could literally take one phone, play your sales video on Facebook, and then record with another phone and talk over and say, hey kids, because you know it's younger, this is what I'm saying on Facebook. The version for you to practice now is this.
Right.
You see where I'm going?
Yeah, 100%.
You have to come up, you have to consume. The reason I always do well is I listen for hundreds of hours before I talk. It's not obvious to you because you're only seeing the talking part. You don't see the 14 hours that I put in listening to TikTok content on the flight here, right? It's the same reason I'm gonna crush sports cards. This flight here wasn't TikTok, it was sports cards. You know, eventually everyone's gonna be like, how are you right about soccer and wrestling and basketball cards? It's because I read for 14 hours the sale prices on auctions on those categories, and then read articles, and then went on Twitter and searched what people were talking about. I put in the fucking work. You don't need me to give you the strategy for TikTok. Go live in TikTok for 100 hours and you'll figure it out.
Cool, thank you.
You got it.
G'day Gary, how are you?
Real good, bro.
My name's Liam. Funny you mentioned education before, because my initiative supports young teachers.
Okay, great.
And hopefully making them not like the teachers that you might have
understand.
Had. We're getting to a stage now where we're dealing with bigger, more established organizations.
Okay.
Some are linked to the government.
Makes sense.
When I've been dealing with them, the opinion has been very anti-technology, very anti-social media.
Of course.
When I talked to them, they were, you know, static web pages with no interactivity, no Instagram, no Facebook.
I know.
But we
score.
Have to work with them to get bigger.
Okay.
And they're almost seeing my opinions as like a threat or something along those lines.
That's exactly what they think.
How would you, what would be your advice to help deal with an industry that's inherently negative about social media promotion?
Not be at the mercy of it like you are now. You've built a model that relies on them, right?
Yeah.
I recommend not to. Otherwise, you have to play by their rules, which means you will get frustrated and quit eventually anyway. So I would reframe the model to have leverage outside of them, not play within them. Now that's a fucking brain twist for you, because you're like, fuck, that means I have to start all over. That's what I'm actually telling you to do if you're frustrated by it, or eat the shit sandwich for the rest of your life because you chose to play within their fucking old school bullshit framework.
Well, conversations are kind of just beginning, so I'll go tell them that.
I mean, you know where those conversations are gonna end.
Yeah, yeah.
Innovation is inherently against education. Education is built on the foundation of memorizing information in a world where information is at your fingertips. That's a problem. We don't give a shit when it fucks up retailers and we have new internet retailers, but we're awfully romantic about education. Education's framework is broke. The internet fucked it. That's not something I or you have anything to do with. But if you choose to play within it, you choose to play within it. It's like kids that always hit me up, they're like, Gary, my parents are forcing me to go to fucking school. Like, I don't fucking wanna do this, I wanna start a business. I'm like, leave. All these kids talking shit, but they want mommy's money. Don't take mommy's money and fucking start a business. Eat shit for a decade and do your thing. But no, everybody wants both. You're not gonna be able to have both, bro. They're not gonna move. They'll appease you and run you around until you quit. So,
don't fight them.
What?
Don't fight them.
You can't fight them, they have all the fucking leverage. Yeah. What, are you gonna fight them with that awesome coat you're wearing? You can't fight something that has all the leverage. Yeah. You're asking. Got it?
Yeah.
Whoever asks, loses.
Hey Gary, pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
My question, you talk a lot about just being yourself and being 100% aware of, you know, what you are capable of and what you're not capable of, but what is like the objective bad qualities, I guess? What things should you seek to improve? Like for example, I'm naturally an introvert, and
that's
so
great.
I'm not very good at selling, but obviously.
So don't sell.
Well then.
That's fine. You just need to hire somebody who can sell.
Fair enough. I think...
Bro, whatever you're inherently bad at, hire.
Fair enough. When you were starting Wine Library...
Yes.
You were kind of paving your own way, obviously, for a while before you knew it'd even be successful.
Well, I was in a unique situation because my dad had a liquor store. And the reason I always tell kids to be patient was I spent 22 to 34 working 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 12 hours a day, built a business from 3 to 60 million, and then left owning none of it. And started my own life at 34. So you can imagine when a 26-year-old is worried about shit, that I struggle with being overly empathetic. So with Wine Library, my mission was to actually give back to my parents for what they did for me by having me in the first place and then raising me.
Did you know that what you were doing was gonna work out?
Yes, because I'd already been good at baseball cards and lemonade and I knew I was good at selling.
Right, yeah. Okay,
but here's an important part of the way you're asking the question. I thought, where I'm very fascinated, how old are you?
19.
This is my big fascination. I wish you knew that you could do nothing right, literally make every wrong decision for the next 19 years of your life, live a tired another life, and still be young as fuck to go and win. Like, debating with your own fucking head about what's right versus actually doing shit is the biggest reason that people fail. There's 80-year-olds that are sitting here that are still debating. It's one big game of insecurity, bro.
When am I wrong?
When you're dead.
Fair enough.
Like, that's the beauty of the game. You don't get to be wrong until the end. You could spend the next 40 years of your life being super wrong and then at 59, fucker, figure it out and have a 10-year run that made you right. Life is sports. Just because you're losing at halftime doesn't mean it's over. Like, I'm just so confused. You know how many 50, 60-year-olds are here thinking they're wrapping it up when they're gonna live another 40 fucking years? The fuck are you wrapping up? I don't even get started. How many people under 30? Fuck you. You haven't even fucking gotten to the game yet. You understand?
Yeah.
The fuck are you thinking about at 19? Go do shit. Worrying about if you're wrong? For who? What are you fucking worried about if you're wrong? Your dad's fucking awesome. He's recording the whole fucking thing.
It's not my dad.
Whatever, some weird... Look how awesome life is. Some weird bald dude is fucking recording the whole thing. You understand?
Yeah.
I want to know why the fuck you're worried about being wrong. For who?
I think I look around and I guess it
That's already the start of a bad sentence.
Yeah, I know.
No, really. Don't look around.
Like, but I wonder though, like, what am I doing wrong if so many people my age
They're fucking full
succeeding?
Of shit, bro. They're better at acting than you are.
But if they're actually making money, how are they faking it?
Fuck money, bro. You think your buddy that you went to high school with that's flashing diamonds on Instagram's so fucking lucky? Get FOMO out of your system. Their life has nothing to do with you. Cool. The fuck does your buddy's life have to do with you?
Nothing.
Nothing. You understand?
Yeah.
Do you know that when I was 26 years old, I was ringing up my friend's bottles of champagne at the liquor store, then putting it into a box and carrying it to their car and putting it into their car for the party they were going in at night? In that scene, all of you would have thought one person was winning and one person was losing. You would have been fucking wrong. I was 26, you're 19. Stop worrying about your buddies. Stop fucking scrolling through a feed and wishing you were something you're not. Start focusing on what you actually are.
Cool.
Cool.
Thank you, Gary.